Oh, that's right. I'm opening this week, aren't I?
You sure are, which means I'm probably going to be Princess or Luigi.
Well, we'll call you Princess for this episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's Game Train podcast, episode 14. I'm Callan, and joining me as always is Princess.
Princess, is that right? The picture doesn't represent... I'm gonna change the picture now. I'm gonna put it like Arnold or something.
Oh, there goes that whole intro joke. Thanks for that.
Why did you just kill the vibe? That was all part of it.
Oh man. Anyway, as always, we're here to talk to you guys about games and everything else. This week our feature game is Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which is out right now. That's right. We are bringing you the review as soon as we can. So we're dropping this podcast a day earlier than normal. Bam. Because we're trying to get the news out to you guys sooner.
Yep.
If that makes sense. Yeah? Cool. All right. But before we get to all that, the news. Square Enix has announced they are doing a remake of the classic Secret of Mana, which originally released in 1993 on the Super Nintendo. It's a classic RPG, and in some people's opinions, their favourite RPG of all time. It is coming out next year, on February 15th, on the PlayStation 4, the PlayStation Vita, and PC.
That is awesome. I'm so excited. I'm hoping that by then I've finished playing my version on the Super NES Mini, because I've never played it before.
Yes. I regret not getting the Super NES Mini right now, but anyway.
Damn.
Yakuza Kiwama is coming out tomorrow, which is the remake of the original Yakuza. But then news has trickled out that Yakuza 2 is now also being remade, so look out for that probably next year. Also, another leak, this time from, of all places, Target, that Bethesda has been working on a Game of Thrones game. So this could be the massive open world Game of Thrones title that fans have been crying out for. So still, it's rumors and coming from Target.
That's so weird, man.
It's so weird, but if it's true and Bethesda does go, yeah, we are working on a Game of Thrones game, I'm going to be just a little bit excited.
Oh, well, speaking of Target, apparently, they've said that they will not stock the Xbox One X, which is interesting. I'm not sure what that decision's... what's bringing that decision about. Maybe they are trying to aim for a younger audience, or maybe they see their game section as more of a fun kids thing and not really a pro gamer place. I mean, it's true. I don't normally go to Target to buy stuff. As a gamer, I'd go to EB or JB. But anyway, who knows? Those mysterious people at Target. Big W, for those who are as keen as I am to play Destiny 2 next week, Big W has listed it at $64 for the base game, which is an amazing price, considering I just paid $99 for it on my Xbox so I could download it early.
You just know people are going to be queuing up at EB to price match Big W now?
Yeah. Yeah, they and EB are going to hate that. But midnight launch, just to keep you guys informed, what I like about EB and I find very funny is when people go and try and do the price matching at midnight and EB just usually say, yep. Let's see, $64? Okay, if you can tell me which Big W is open right now, we'll match it. Careful.
Oh, it's a little bit of a slap in the face, though, because it's still that same day, and Big W is still advertising it on that price.
Yeah, but you can't get it. So, you know, you've gone to go to the midnight launch so that you can get it before anyone else, and that's the service price you pay, is that, you know. I don't know, I remember someone lining up and saying that, saying like, oh, it's this price, and they're like, well, you can get it there then. And it's like, damn, you have to go back home, go to bed, wait till 9, you know, so you
Is it really worth it to save $30?
Exactly. I'd just be like, Tia, take my $90. Which is what I did. I got mine right now, so I'm ready to go. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds now has the second all-time highest concurrent player count on Steam. Also, Fortnite, the game that Callan and I mentioned last week, has a new update called Survive the Storm. It's a free update. It's a limited time exclusive, so jump on that and have a bit of fun if you want. There's some weapon prizes that are exclusive for it. It seems to be like this extra sort of thing, very Minecrafty, where you build during the day and at night there seems to be like an ongoing swarm, and you have to like fend them off all night, and then in the day you can start rebuilding your base. And we're not quite sure, but we're going to jump in and give it a shot ourselves, and we'll have a bit more on that for you guys next week. The Xbox marketing manager Aaron Greenberg told Game Reactor that it was talking to Sony about the potential for crossplay between the two consoles. Apparently it's, as expected, not looking so good, but he's trying all kinds of different negotiations to see what they can work out. So yeah, that's awesome. That's what I got.
Sweet. All right, that's the news, people. So now on to what we've been playing.
Boom.
All right, so just before I recorded tonight, I decided to jump on the Nintendo Switch store and check out the Pokken Tournament demo that's out at the moment.
Yes.
So there are three Pokemon to choose from on the demo, and you're allowed 15 battles before I think the demo just shuts down. It said I had 15 battles, and that would be it, sort of thing. It's pretty much like a time demo, really.
You kind of get everything.
Yeah.
Within 15.
Yeah. You know, it's a fighting game. It's really quick. It seemed really fun, because I hadn't played the original Pokken Tournament on Wii U. So I'm kind of a bit excited about the full version of this, which comes out on the September 22nd, which is Pokken Tournament DX. But yeah, the demo was pretty fun. I played as Pikachu, shot my lightning bolts around, jumped around, you know. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just mashing buttons and just doing things.
Yep.
But it was fun all the same.
Yeah. Cool. Mm. That sounds like your playstyle in Injustice 2.
But it beats you, so it's okay then.
There is a video on our Facebook if you guys want to see how true that is. Anyway, speaking of Injustice 2, I jumped on again this week just to have a look at Starfire and Sub-Zero, which are some DLC characters that they've released. There's also Red Hood, which I didn't get a chance to try. Starfire was awesome. I had a lot of fun with her. She's a little bit slower than I'm used to. She's one of the characters that fly. She was very much like Callan's main hitter. What's his name? I don't even know, because I hate him so much.
Firestorm, bro. Come on.
Firestorm.
Best character in that game.
He just should be omitted from that game. But anyway, she kind of feels like him, but better, faster, and smoother, and just kind of just nice hits. I don't know, I really liked it. Her big power move is kind of a bit of a letdown. Wasn't really into it, but anyway, Sub-Zero was awesome. Easily my favorite character of the whole thing, which sucks because it's not a Mortal Kombat game, but you can tell that this is where they feel at home, making the Mortal Kombat characters doing their thing. Sub-Zero just feels awesome. He's fast. His ice is actually effective. It's weird that he's in there at the same time as Captain Cold. But yeah, I really enjoyed using him. Felt a little bit of that Mortal Kombat nostalgia. Now I want them to make Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah, I reckon it's in development. Surely it's in development.
It has to be. It's so frustrating using him and not like ripping someone's spine out or, you know, doing something awful.
What was his super move like?
Funny you asked that. I never got to try it.
Oh.
Yeah, I just didn't quite get it working in time. And then I was only on there for the briefest of moments because I barely ever clean the dust off my Xbox anymore, sadly. And I was just doing it while I had a free second. I went, oh, I'm just going to jump on and try these two characters. Didn't get to try that super move. So, no spoilers for anyone then. You can just jump on and find out what it's like. Or just
speaking of no spoilers, I finished Lost Legacy, which we reviewed in last week's episode.
Yes, nice.
So I finished that only just a few hours before recording this, actually.
Oh, you got a lot done today.
Yeah, I did. The last set piece in the game, all I'll say is it's pretty awesome.
Oh, damn. Okay. And you enjoyed it? It stayed to its
I did. You know what? Some people thought the game was too short. I thought it was about right. I didn't really want it anymore. I'm kind of, I won't say over Uncharted, but, you know, that was enough. I didn't need it to, like, I think it was about 9 hours long for me. Yep. I didn't need it reaching into 12 hours, etc. That was enough.
Yeah, that's a nice length.
The story was really tight. Like, all the story beats moved quite quick.
Yeah.
You know, it does always feel like you're onto the next thing, onto the next thing. Oh, you know, here's a story moment. Bang, onto the next thing. It was quite... the story went on at a really quick pace. Maybe the only thing... Maybe some more varied environments would be the only other thing I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. It was all in that one sort of country.
Most of it was set in the one area.
Yeah.
So that was probably the only other little thing I felt at the end of the game. I'm like, you know, I've seen enough sort of jungly sort of areas. I would have maybe liked maybe some sort of snowy region or something.
Yeah, snow, desert, any kind of...
Yeah, just something just to mix it up a little. But other than that, yeah, loved it. You know, it was good. The ending was satisfying. And that last set piece is pretty cool.
Oh, good. Well, I haven't quite made it to there. I'm very close, though. I can feel it. I think tonight actually might be the night, so I'm stoked to see that.
And another game I've been sinking a lot of hours into is Don Bradman Cricket 2017. Oh. This game is from Big Ant Studios, which is an Australian game development company.
Yeah.
It's out on PS4 and Xbox One. It came out in December last year, and it released on PC in January this year. So I've been playing through career mode, where you make a player. So I've made him look like myself.
Oh, you have to send us a screen of that.
I took a bunch of screenshots today, actually.
Oh, good.
He is an opening batsman / spin bowler. And he started off playing for the Frankston Cricket Club. And today, finally, after I don't know how many matches and how many hours I've put into this, okay, I've played over 50 T20 matches now, and they probably take about 15 minutes a match. And I've probably played about 40 first class test matches, and they go for maybe 30 minutes to an hour a match. Depending on how well I'm going, how often I get brought on to bowl, there's lots of variables. Like some matches, I don't even get bowled, and then I go out first ball, and it's done. Others, I'm in there for like a full hour. Okay. I finally got selected into the Australian side today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I've been having so much fun with this game. Like, I've like nailed my bowling down. Like, you know, every innings I'll go in now, like, I know I can get about 3 or 4 wickets. Like, one innings I cleaned up, like, just about the entire team. I got 9 wickets in, like, this one innings. It was just a bowling masterclass. And then my batting is where it lets me down, though. Like, as I said, sometimes I'll walk in and I'll just go out first ball. And then I've been slowly getting better and better at my batting. And I've gotten, you know, I'd gotten a few scores in the 40s, but I just couldn't get past it. And then finally the other day I got a score in the 50s. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Well, first innings for Australia today, 88.
Look at you.
But like in talking about the gameplay, I'm like really enjoying it. Like after every match you get pretty much experience points, which you can put into different stats on your character, from batting to bowling to fielding, etc. You can get selected to play in teams all over the world. So I've been playing in a Bangladesh 2020 league and a Pakistani 2020 league and stuff like this. Playing in the English County Cup, things like that. I've just been really enjoying it. But then I can almost zone out while playing it, especially when I'm bowling. And I'll just sort of just zone out for maybe like 30 minutes and just keep bowling the same set of balls over and over again. And I'll be like, oh yeah, this next match. All right, here we go again. Like, it's really weird. I'm like strangely addicted to this game now.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, that baffles me because I just would not be seen dead next to a cricket game personally.
Well, it's what I've been playing.
Not this one. No offense to the developers. Just no cricket game whatsoever.
I'm really enjoying this. I also had the other title, which came out in, I think, 2014. By the same name, but 2014 cricket.
Okay.
But I think I prefer this one. Good job, Big Ant Studios. You're sucking me right in there.
Well, you did. Well done, guys. Kudos to you guys.
Okay, on to our feature review game this week, which is Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle. All right, guys, so this game is out today, the day that this podcast is going to air.
Yes.
Ubisoft was kind enough to send us one copy of this game.
Yes, they were.
Which I received, so I'm doing the review tonight. Carl's not reviewing it because he actually hasn't played the game yet.
No, and I would have loved to, and I will be getting it today, but I would have loved to have played it a bit more so I could review it. And we were going to sort of wait for me to play it, but we'd rather get the review out to you guys as soon as possible.
Tonight we're trying to push out this review first. So this is sort of new ground for us without both of us playing the feature game. We much prefer us both having played the feature game for many reasons. But because we only got the one copy, as I said, we got it in advance. I got the copy, and so we're just doing a review as the embargo drops, pretty much.
Rock and roll, you know, we've got to do it.
All right, so another thing I'm going to admit just quickly is that when this game leaked earlier this year, and I've said this on previous podcasts, I was like, what is this? You know, I looked at it and I'm like, what?
I think it was a collective confusion.
These Rabbids, which is like, you know, they're in like the Rayman games.
Yep.
Yeah, Rayman's and they're just Rabbids. These weird bunny rabbit creatures, and I'm like, what is this? This looks like absolute rubbish. This was just from the very first leaked artwork. But then, saw the game be formally announced at E3 this year.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much game of show for me. I was blown away. I was blown away by this game. Like,
yeah, it did look super interesting.
Like, it's this tactical top-down game like XCOM, where you sort of make moves over a battlefield with certain characters, and each character has different abilities, strengths and weaknesses, etc. But it's a tactical game, and it's fun. Like, I've been playing a lot of this over the last few days, and it's a lot of fun.
Cool, it hooks you in there?
Sorry?
It hooks you in there?
Yeah, it does. Like, nice. It starts off really easy. Right? The first few battles are just face roll. You're like, yeah. Where I'm up to now, I'm struggling. I'm getting my ass handed to me over and over and over again. And it's a situation of get good.
Nice. It's so refreshing to hear that from a Mario game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they could have easily gone the easy route here of just going, we'll make it easy, kid friendly and all that. It starts off that way, but oh boy, it gets hard. Like, you got to sit there and think and plan your battles accordingly.
Wow, I wonder how the younger audience are going to take to this.
Well, I don't know. We're talking about this the other day, you and I. It's kind of like chess.
Yeah.
You have, you get three characters on your team of battle, and you each turn, each of your characters can move once and attack once and use a defensive power once.
Nice. Okay. Also,
each character gets that. So you can't move twice. Like in XCOM, because I had a go of XCOM the other day to sort of compare the pair.
Yeah.
You can actually move twice if you want, like in that game. Well, in this, you only get one move. Like, there's little differences like that. In XCOM, you can use things like avoid being seen by the enemy using camouflage, and I think there's fog of war as well.
Yeah.
While in Mario Rabbids, you can actually see the whole battlefield from the start. It's a little different in that way, but it does play to say that you get certain moves, certain attack moves. You can only move a certain amount of tiles a turn, etc.
And does that sort of level up or upgrade the amount of tiles you can move?
Yes. So you gain skill points. Each character has their own skill tree.
Nice.
So there are you get 8 characters all up.
Okay.
And they all have different abilities. So Mario, he's always in your team. He's your all-rounder, right?
Yeah.
But then you have, like, you have Princess Peach, and she actually hits quite hard, but she can also heal.
Oh, nice.
And the Rabbit Peach, she's more of a defensive character, but she has heals as well. So they're the two characters that can heal.
Okay.
Mario Rabbit is like a tank. Like, he has a lot of health and he hits like a truck.
Nice. Cool. Cool.
Luigi is sort of like a long range character. You keep him at the back. He doesn't have much HP, but he can shoot a very long range, further than anyone else.
Cool.
So you mix and match your team depending on the battle. Like, I haven't been doing a lot of that, but I'm starting to now, going, all right, it would actually be better to have a Luigi in this battle because I need someone sitting at the back because of whatever reason. You are coming up against different enemies. So at the start, the enemies are just all, you're just stock standard enemies, right?
Yeah.
But then they start getting things like they can bounce on each other's head to gain a movement advantage. Or they have like a big shield and that you can't attack them front on. You have to flank them to be able to hurt them. So you have to position yourself on your turn around, you know, sides, for instance, to be able to hit these guys. There's other guys that if you shoot them, they advance on you, so they get a bonus move in a way every time you shoot them.
Yeah, okay.
There's other ones that can, like, lob little grenades over, which are just getting annoying. Because, you know, you'll sit everyone up in good positions. That's all right, so they can't really shoot me this way. But then these guys just lob stuff over the top. And now I'm coming up against guys that now can ink you. And if you get inked, you actually can't attack.
Ah, okay.
So to get rid of that, you get an ability where you can jump on each other's heads and it gets rid of any status ailments. But it's still really annoying because you want to split your guys up so you don't all get smashed in the one spot and to be able to flank, etc. But you got to keep everyone together to be able to jump on each other's heads if you get inked.
Yeah, okay.
So there's a lot of that going on with me where I'm up to at the moment.
It sounds like a lot of fun. And from the things you were sort of comparing differences with XCOM and all that, basically what it sounded like to me is that it has quite a lot in common with that genre and that style, yeah?
Yeah, very, very much. Awesome. Just with, like, yeah, you know, the limited movement, you know, the one attack.
I love that sort of slow, calculated strategy. It sounds really interesting.
And you know what? It translates great on the Switch, being able to go handheld.
Okay.
Because so each world, so there's 4 worlds. So the first world, I think, had like 8 sort of story bits, and each story bit had about 2 battles in each story bit.
Yep.
So, you know, you might go through and play 1 battle or 2 battle handheld if you want, you know. It's one of those things you can just pick up and play and just progress a little bit in the game. And
yeah,
then
nice.
when you've cleared a world, you can go back and you get new abilities that you can unlock extra bits to find hidden treasures and solve extra puzzles. Because there's actually puzzle solving too in the game.
Oh, okay. So it's not just like kill 10 guys and move on.
No, it's kill 10 guys and move on. But between killing 10 guys at A and killing 10 guys at B, there might be a couple of puzzles to do along the way.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, and again, some are quite tricky puzzles. You know, you sit there and go, how do I figure this out? And then, you can go back through the worlds to get all the hidden chests. And then there are challenge modes too. Another 10 battles appear in each world, which are like challenge modes. So they're like super tough battles, like do this whole battle in 3 turns.
Dang, okay, cool.
Or reach this spot in 1 turn. And you sit there and you go, how in the world do I reach that spot in 1 turn?
Wow, okay, it has a very Worms challenging sort of way like that. Like if you ever played the 1-player version of Worms,
mm-hmm.
the campaigns, they had things like that, like destroy these 3 bad guys with 1 grenade and you're like, what? How do I do that?
Yeah, similar in that sort of thing, where you sit and scratch your handle. So I've done a bunch of the challenges and some I just still can't do because I can't figure them out yet.
Yeah.
Nice. But some will be easier as you level up and you come back and do them with different like characters, etc.
Wow.
Yeah. And then like the game itself, like, you know, there's story in the game as well. Like, these worlds have been combined through this light little this machine which could combine things. And this one rabbit's got this thing on its head, and everything that it looks at combines into things, and it's just gone out of control.
Bloody rabbits.
And Bowser Jr.'s in it as well, and he's running around with this little rabbit trying to get him to, like, zap things and mess up the world, you know, all this sort of chaos.
Yep.
Oh, and, good. And, you know, on your team, you've got, like, you know, Mario, et cetera, but you've got, like, you know, Rabbit Luigi and Rabbit Peach, et cetera. And they're just ridiculous characters. Like, they're just... The rabbits are just ridiculous characters all around. And, like, just this insane, out-of-control sort of hyper things running around everywhere. Love chaos. You know, every time something ridiculous happens, like, you know, Rabbit Luigi's there laughing his head off. Rabbit Peach is taking selfies of herself while all this craziness is happening. There's a lot of character to this game.
Yeah. Oh, good. So it's like just... cheeky and childish sort of thing.
Yes, it is. It is. And, yeah, you know, it doesn't take itself seriously.
Cool. And the graphics look stunning in all the, like, pictures and screenshots. But what's it like on the actual handheld, like, graphics-wise?
Yeah, it's fine. You know, sometimes when looking at the handheld, though, you're trying to pick where the bad guys are at times. Sometimes it's a little hard to see that.
Okay, a little bit small?
Yeah, at times, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I've missed a couple of things at times. I'm going, oh, gee. You know, it's easier to see on the TV. But, yeah, it's got that same old Mario art style to it, a very cartoony look. The music's very Mario-y, you know, upbeat sort of.
I didn't even think to ask about the
soundtrack. Yeah. There's some old classic tunes, and there's a heap of new music as well. Music's all great. The sound effects are all Mario style, you know. In terms of progression, so there, I spoke about skill trees before, but there is also weapons.
So
you earn coins and you can buy new weapons, or you can find new weapons, but you still got to buy those weapons with coins. And I'm just getting a little frustrated with it, because you're earning a certain amount of coins, but it's like you just found this cool new weapon in a chest, but you can't use it until you pay the coins to use it.
Oh, weird. Okay.
I'd rather, if I just found it in a chest, I should be able to equip it straight away.
Yeah, if you found it. If not, there should be some shop with weapons you can...
Because stuff always gets added to the shop as you progress through the game, and the game tells you when new stuff's been added. But it'd be nice if that the stuff you find in chests, you get to just use straight away. I would have liked that. That's sort of a letdown for me. And also I feel like on top of weapons, I feel like there should have been other armors that you can find along through the game as well.
Yeah,
like, it's nice having the gun progression, but I feel like I would have liked some sort of other equipment progression, whether it be like
helmets or something.
Helmets or accessories or things like that. I just feel like, oh, cool, I've got another gun, all right. This one does 10 more damage. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I wonder if that's something, I didn't even think of this, but I wonder if this could be a potential new, you know, like, franchise, like if they'll make another Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
And so, there's co-op as well. You can do couch co-op.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So it's not in the normal campaign. It's a separate mini campaign. And its own challenges as well.
Can you do that online?
No. And that's another thing which I'm quite disappointed about.
Yeah. But I guess Switch is promoting a lot of that couch co-op stuff these days, which is great. I'm glad someone is now. You know, like, it kind of disappeared for a while.
But as always, I say, why not do both?
Yeah, of course.
I would have loved to be able to jump on there with you and have a game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I reckon it's really cool to finally see something that Mario hasn't done, like he's done so much. But do you reckon it does justice to, like, the extended Mario universe, like Mario RPG or the sports games or, you know, the kart games?
Yeah, it does. Because when I first saw the original concept art and other people speculated too that it was going to be a new Mario RPG.
Yeah.
And I was really excited. But then I saw this, and I'm like, actually, this works so well, too. And it does. And that's kind of exciting in its own way.
Yeah, that's a huge call, seeing as it wasn't Nintendo's. You know, that's such great news.
Well, what is baffling me is, wonder how much Ubisoft paid for the licensing of Mario?
Yeah.
Because, well, he's probably the most expensive video game character to license out there.
He's gotta be.
you know, I don't know. Yeah, who knows if this will be a success or not. Like, in my books, playing the game, it's a great game.
Well, speaking of that,
you should go get it.
What do you give this, having said all that? As a quick thing, next week, I'll just give you guys my score, and I won't go through the whole review again, but just so that you guys can have my opinion of it. But this week, what's yours?
Look, I'm going to give it a 9.
9 again? This guy with the scores.
I'll say this because it's original, really. Like, they've gone out on a whim, and it works what it is. Now, there's a few things that have let me down. But yep. What it does for itself, it does strongly. Like, it's a solid game, and it's hard, too.
Yeah, like, okay, so face good challenge.
This is a hard, challenging game.
Yeah, and that's why I haven't finished itself. It yet. Yeah, you know, of
I've
course.
Been playing quite a bit, and I haven't finished it, because it's hard. Like, nice. So I've got to get better to be able to beat this thing.
Get good,
but, you know,
right.
it's helped grow that Mario brand further.
Yep.
And it's definitely one, if you have a Switch, add this to your library. Like, it definitely belongs in your library with your Zeldas, your Mario Karts, Splatoon, etc. You got a Switch, go get this game.
Man, that Switch library is looking really good really quickly.
It's looking very healthy, isn't it?
Yeah. People were saying it's got a slow start, but for the first, like, 6 months of a, you know, console launch, this is just... strong title after strong title, and then arms, and then more strong titles.
Well, by the time December comes around, you know, it would have been March to December, which is 9 and a bit months.
Yep.
And we've still got Pokken Tournament and Mario Odyssey to come out on it yet.
Yeah.
And Skyrim.
And Super Meat Boy. That's a big one for me.
Yeah, but yeah, look, this is definitely a quality title that you should add to your collection.
Awesome. Wow. 9 out of 10 carriages.
And that's Mario Rabbids.
Wow, okay. That was awesome. I can't wait to jump in and try that myself. But that brings us now. It is time for Backtrack.
What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
This is the segment of Game Train where we have a look at this week in the history of games. And we just go and find something fun that happened in the past in this exact week and have a little chat. So this time, on September the 1st, in 1992, so that's this week, Super Mario Kart is released on the Super Nintendo. Yeah.
Wow.
Very first. And I just thought, this is so perfect because it was another... And then, that was the first time, it was a similar sort of experiment, you know, where Mario jumped out of his normal world and jumped on a bunch of little carts and raced around like he was mates with everyone, including Donkey Kong, what? And Bowser, and all just riding around the country town, having a good old time. And like, you know, wow. They started that whole kart racing genre and everyone tried to copy them and no one quite ever... hit that magic, you know, like Crash Team Racing, Diddy Kong Racing. They were fun. And there was that newer sort of Sonic one recently.
Mm-hmm.
But, and now look at it, like, Mario Kart series is still one of Nintendo's most popular. It's not even like there's Mario and then there's Zelda and then there's Metroid. It's like there's Mario and then there's Mario Kart. It's like this whole thing that they've made on its own. It's amazing. And when I saw that it happened this week, I just thought it was just so perfect right after talking about Mario plus Rabbids. It was... I wonder if they were going through that similar... Like, now it just seems like a no-brainer. But then, when there was no other Mario Kart, I wonder how they... Like, what fans thought when they're like, oh, this is a game about Mario, but he's racing on these little kart things.
Yeah. And like, the original developers, like, you know... sort of like pitching that idea, going, all right, we want to take a bunch of Mario characters and put them on go-karts.
Yeah, not even like cool, fast cars with rockets or anything. And no guns. We're just going to throw banana peels and stuff.
Yeah.
And some shells.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's Backtrack. Just a bit of fun, something interesting. I think it's come a long way. So I think, who knows if it's going to be a repeated thing with this new formula. See what happens.
Nice. All right, on to our passenger questions for this week.
Oh, right. Okay, well, this week we have a question from, let me see if I can pronounce this person's name. I believe it's Reef Atkin. Yep. Hi, Reef, whoever you are. Wonder where you're from. This person asks, how can I convince my friend to buy a PS4 with his tax money so we can play online together? Currently, he only plays Xbox.
Okay, first up, hello, Reef. Mm-hmm. Why haven't you added me to PSN yet?
Yep, that's awkward.
Yeah, it is awkward, actually. So, hello, I'll play online games with you, Reef.
There you go, there's one friend.
There you go. Actually, another way to sell it to you, mate, you go, look, PS4, and you go, Uncharted, Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3, Uncharted 4, Uncharted The Lost Legacy. The Last of Us.
Maybe just say The Last of Us. Persona 5.
Persona 5. Horizon Zero Dawn. Oh. We can keep going.
Oh, man.
We can keep going with exclusives. And that you just say, look, it has these exclusives. All amazing games. You know, go get a PlayStation for these games. And then when he does, you go, oh, you got a PlayStation? So do I. Let's play the same games together online. And there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's one way to do it. It's we don't quite know enough of the backstory of this question. Like, I wonder if he's currently in negotiations of trying to play a specific game. I'd love to know which game it is. Because, see, if it was games like, you know, Destiny, or there are a whole bunch of other ones where PS4 are really sort of taking the reins and making those games better for themselves just with exclusive content. Like, everyone that I talk to plays Destiny on PS4. Sadly, that doesn't include me, because all of my friends are on Xbox One, and I love the controller so much that anything multiplayer, I play on there. So, yeah, I'm not the best to answer
Destiny
this.
I'll be playing Destiny on friggin' Xbox One to be able to play a view.
Yeah.
Yep.
Correct. Well, unless you're playing with Reef, but
Yeah, but we still got to review Destiny 2, so...
Yeah, I mean, I have, I think, 6 players ready to go already, so, We're ready, so yeah, you might as well jump on Xbox. But this is not really answering the question, it's doing the exact opposite.
Yeah.
sorry. My answer to your question, Reef, is you buy the Xbox and play with your friend on Xbox.
Disregard his answer, Reef. Don't worry about it. Just convince your friend through exclusives and then go, oh, let's play this together. I mean, that's a better way of doing it.
I think so, if we're answering that question.
Alright. Alright, now on to our lame train and hype train for this week. Let's start off with the lame train.
Alright. Okay, lame train. Did you find one?
Oh, I did.
Oh, good. Alright, I'll go first. You sound quite convinced. Alright. My lame train is a pretty sad one, and it's coming from me being excited about the Xbox One X and all that kind of thing and upgrading. And it's that, and I feel like I'm so alone in this, but I am going to miss so much my Kinect. I just absolutely love my Kinect. And the new Xbox One S and the Xbox One X don't even have a Kinect like plug in the back. That's how anti-Kinect they are. I mean, you could still get it in there, I think, via adapters and things, but there's just no more Kinect love at all. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think it was clunky and weird, and the motion thing just never caught on. But the voice recognition is excellent. It's so much better. I tried it on the PlayStation as well with the eye and all that. I've got that because of PSVR, and it's sometimes right, sometimes wrong, but, man... My Xbox, I'll just walk into the room, you know, after I finish, if I get home from the gym or I come home from a gig, I'll just get there and I'll be changing. I'll turn on the Xbox, and while that's happening, I'm getting changed in my room, getting ready to just chill out. And as the Xbox is just sitting there, I'll just be like, Xbox, you know, go to Fortnite. And it'll just load up and I'll go to Friends, load Section 1, open. and all that. And then all that, just while I'm getting changed, I don't even have to look at it. I know, it just feels so easy. And I just like, something happens, someone's online, I'll just Xbox, go to friends, Xbox, go home, Xbox, go back to game. It's just so easy, especially when you want to do things quickly and, you know, you're busy doing something else, so you're running outside to get something. I don't know. I love it. And it recognizes me when I walk in. I say, Xbox, turn on. It just turns on. I don't have to even load up the controller or press it or wait for it to do any of that. I've really loved using it. It feels a lot more fluid than I ever expected. So I'll miss that. Yeah, that's my lame train. You seem very taken aback by my story.
I don't like Connect.
No, I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, I had one. I tried it, and I went, nope, and just unplugged it.
Wow. I love my Connect. We're such good friends.
Nope. So my lame train...
Yep.
...is me.
Well, I could have told you that.
I'm annoyed at myself.
Oh,
because
why?
I never pre-ordered a SNES Mini.
Oh, no.
And hearing the news of Secret of Mana being remade, and seeing that SNES Mini has the original Secret of Mana, and I felt like playing Secret of Mana, the original, and I don't have a SNES Mini. So, because I just never went and pre-ordered one, so I'm just annoyed at myself. So, that's my lame train for this week.
That's a really sad lame train.
It's a very sad lame train.
Oh, no. Well, you can look at mine if you ever come to my place.
So, yeah, I'm just annoyed at myself for not pre-ordering one.
I'll bring mine when we go to PAX. And you can have a look at it. But if I check my suitcase when I get back to Brisbane and it's not in there, I'm going to be so angry, and you'll be my lame train.
All right, hype train.
Hype train. Oh, well, Destiny 2 is in like 9 days.
Wow.
That's my
pretty excited.
I'm so excited. I lost more hours of sleep and work and everything to part one than I care to admit. And there was something about Destiny for me and all my groups of friends that other games haven't done. And that was from like family to bandmates to old friends. It just brought all of us together. We had our band meetings on Destiny before each tour. And that's where we like planned things and where to meet and which flights we were taking and where the venues were. And it all happened while we were just killing aliens together and hanging out. And there's just a really special piece of friendship and community behind the Destiny games. And I'm just so excited to jump back into part two. That's my hype train.
Very cool. Mine is Secret of Mana Remake. I'm really hyped for this game. Like, I'm sad I've got to wait until next year, but yeah, it's pretty exciting that they're going back and remaking a classic from the ground up. So I'm really excited for that. But thank you, everyone, for joining us this week again.
Thank you.
You know, as always, you can find us on Facebook, Carl.
Yeah, just jump on our Facebook. It's just facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast.
Yep, and give us a like on there. Give us a subscribe on iTunes or Podbean. Give us a review. Share amongst your friends. Help us get the Game Train out there.
That's it.
Again, thank you all for listening. And sorry, you were saying something?
I was going to say, throw some questions, you know, if you want us to answer any of your queries.
Exactly. And on next week's episode, we will be reviewing Knack 2. And giving our initial thoughts on Destiny 2.
Yeah, we're going to just give initial thoughts because it comes out that day. And we'd like to give it a little bit of time before we give it a real review. And maybe play it for a week. And then the following week, we'll give you our full review. And next week, I'll also give you my score for Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
All right. Thank you very much, everyone. See you next time.
Boom.